From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's time zones, each and every one covered by this program, Coast to Coast AM. It is indeed my honor and privilege to be filling in for George Norrie this night. My name is Art Bell. It really is great to be here. In fact, really, this will answer the first question that everybody has asked me since I've left. Yes, I miss radio. Of course I miss radio. How could I not miss radio? It's in my blood. And so I've decided to take the show back five nights a week. I'm just kidding. I could hear the heart stop out there. It's just great to be here. George is doing a wonderful job, and so I'm glad to be here. Just filling in for the evening, as it were. We'll have Graham Hancock in the next hour. He's a brilliant guy, absolutely brilliant. Now, also an answer to literally thousands of emails. Please go to coasttocoastam.com, see the photographs posted of myself, Aaron, Asia, all the ABs. The family photo, as it were, of the three of us was taken on a recent cruise to Alaska. That's right. You see, I've not been completely idle. I decided to take my wife, who is from an area very close to the equator, where the sun rises and sets at the same time virtually every day with the same heat and humidity, and rarely would you see an iceberg. Actually, never. No ice, no snow. And so I made it to Alaska. We went to Glacier Bay, Juneau, Ketchikan, Sitka, you know, all of that. And it was a blast. And if you could have seen the expression on my wife's face when she saw ice that was, well, I guess millions of years old, actually. You know, that big, deep blue ice. It was all worth it. And it was a lot of fun. Went on Holland-America lines, and it was a blast. Now, our daughter, Asia, is now, as you will see on the website, and you better take a look because I think, you know, those stay up for 24 hours, maybe. So take a look. She is 4 months old on Sunday, going to be 4 months old on Sunday. And, you know, like a proud daddy, I could sit here and believe me, I could. She's an amazing child. Now, I don't know that all babies are like this, but I'm telling you, folks, this baby, Asia, is just the happiest child. I mean, it's like somebody gave her a happy pill. She smiles and she laughs. She's laughing now all the time. So that photograph you see there is not unusual. She's doing it all the time. I don't care what it is. You look at her and she breaks out into a giant smile. She wakes up in her crib and you go in there and, you know, there's big smile, just like the one you see in the photograph there. She doesn't even cry. She's beginning to, you know, exercise her throat. She has discovered her voice, but she doesn't cry. Rarely, rarely ever does she cry, although she's on the verge of talking. So she's way ahead of herself. So I could sit here and I could brag and brag and brag and brag, but she is an amazing child. I've never seen anything like it in my whole life, nor has my wife. Now, I want to give you my email addresses. I don't get a chance to do that very often. So if you want to reach me, you can reach me. I'm Art Bell, ArtBell at AOL.com or ArtBell at Mindspring.com. And really, there's not a whole lot more news, frankly, from the desert. Well, except proving that age does not automatically inculcate wisdom in anybody, particularly myself. July 4th, Independence Day, I was sitting with Aaron on the front porch of the house. And in the distance, you could hear the fireworks going off. Boom, 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 you know, celebration. And I talk to Aaron about why we celebrate Independence Day in the U.S. and who we're independent from and all the rest of it. And she said, okay, let's set off a firecracker. And immediately flashing back to my youth, I said, why, I have firecrackers. And I went inside and I fetched, well, what more or less amounted to a quarter stick of dynamite, actually. It was a firecracker, sort of big one. And like an idiot, went out there and said, okay, hon, watch this. Famous last words, right? Lit it up, threw it in the driveway. And being forewarned, my young wife put her hands over her ears, the appropriate response. I didn't cut, boom. This was not just one of those bangs. This was boom, you know, the kind that rattles your gut. Well, my hearing went away. And I mean, for the next 24 to 48 hours, I didn't hear much of anything, this weird little sound in my ears. It was bad, really bad. And then it settled down to sort of an annoying tinnitus, which I still have to this very day. So on the 4th of July, I did the umpteenth stupid thing in my life and more or less destroyed a portion of my own hearing. Some days it's okay, some days it's not. Anyway, there you have it. What a celebration, eh? All right, let's look briefly at the world. Never a pleasant duty, and then the rest of the news. Soldiers and police took control of the streets Friday. I don't know if you've seen what's been going on in Myanmar, but my God. The gentle Buddhists against the guys with guns. So they fired warning shots this time, tear gas, scattered a few pro-democracy protesters who ventured out as a military hunter there, sealed off Buddhist monasteries, cut the public internet access because a lot of pictures of the torture there that's been going on have been leaking out, so they cut the internet. It's the third day of harsh government crackdown. It just happens again and again there. The streets were empty of the mass gatherings that have peacefully challenged the regime daily for nearly 2 weeks, leaving only some small groups of activists to be chased about by thousands of security police. Big deal on CNN and elsewhere, a young girl who had been seen as being sexually assaulted in a homemade videotape is now safe, happy apparently, and alive, certainly, with relatives, according to sheriff's officials here in Nye County, right here in Nye County, Nevada. A woman who spent 8 days trapped in a wrecked vehicle. There's a terror for you. Can you imagine 8 days and eight nights of terror, severe injuries, but brain functions normal. She can move her arms and legs. Tanya Ryder is her name, 33 years of age, found alive, dehydrated, albeit, at the bottom of a steep ravine in suburban Maple Valley on Thursday, up in the Seattle area. Helen Jensen can still picture the bottle of Tylenol. You know, that was 25 years ago. You remember the Tylenol mess? She can still remember the bottle perched in her medicine cabinet. She feels the receipt that she pulled from the wastebasket. She hears the pills that she poured onto the kitchen table and recalls the absolute certainty, even before she finished counting, that pills from the bottle in her hand had killed the 27-year-old man who lived there, as well as two of his relatives. So they never found anybody, never caught who did that. A student gunman held a high school drama class hostage Friday, firing shots, holding three of the students for more than an hour before police persuaded him to surrender, according to authorities there. Nobody hurt. Police wouldn't say what the 17-year-old's motive might have been, but several students said he was distraught over the breakup that he apparently had with his girlfriend the night before. Now, when I was a teen and you broke up with a girl, you went into your room, crashed on your bed, perhaps cried and listened to sad songs on the radio. You didn't pick up a gun and go shoot a bunch of people. In a moment, we'll be back with the rest of the news. Remember the bug that they were going to put in Spock's ear in Star Trek, one of the movies? You remember that? Here it is. Sounds like science fiction, I know, but unfortunately it's true. There is now a killer amoeba living in certain lakes, which apparently enters the body through the nose And then it attacks the brain where it actually feeds, that's right, feeds on your brain, eats your brain until you die. Even though encounters with a microscopic bug are extraordinarily rare, thank God, it has killed 6 boys and young men this year. The spike in cases has health officials very concerned. They're predicting more cases in the future, saying, quote, this is definitely something we need to track. That's according to Michael Beach, a specialist in recreational waterborne illnesses for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Quoting, this is a heat-loving amoeba. As water temperatures go up, it does better, said Beach. In future decades, as temperatures rise, we'll expect to see more cases. According to the CDC, the amoeba killed 23 people in the U.S. from 1995 through 94. This year, though, health officials have noticed quite a spike with 6 cases, 3 in Florida, 2 in Texas, 1 in Arizona. CDC knows of only several hundred cases worldwide since its discovery in Australia in the 1960s. Today was certainly the first time I'd heard a word about it, but the amoeba will multiply with more heat, and more heat is what we're getting. The area covered by sea ice in the Arctic has now shrunk to its lowest level since satellite measurements started about 30 years ago, opening up now. They knew it was going to happen, opening up the Northwest Passage, a long-sought shortcut between Europe and Asia that has been historically impassable, but thanks to the heat, it can now be navigated. Leif Todal Petersen from the Danish National Space Center said, and I quote, we've seen the ice-covered area drop to around 3 million square kilometers, which is about a million square kilometers less than the previous minima of 2005 and 6. There's been a reduction of the ice cover over the last 10 years. Now get this, listen carefully. Over the last 10 years, of about 100,000 square meters per year on average. So, a drop of a million square kilometers in just 1 year is extreme and something to worry a great deal about. So it's getting warmer. And this, too, sounds like the plot for a scary B-movie. But I'm sorry to say, it's true. The Associated Press reporting, germs go into space on a rocket and they come back stronger and deadlier than ever. I'm sorry to report this is real. The germ Salmonella, best known as a culprit of food poisoning. The trip, Space Shuttle STS-115, September of 2006, the reason scientists wanted to see how much space travel affects germs, so they took some along, carefully wrapped up for the ride. The result, mice fed with the space germs were 3 times more likely to get sick and died quicker than others fed identical germs that had remained behind on Earth. Wherever humans go, we all know, microbes go. You can't sterilize humans. Therefore, as we go, so go the microbes, right? And remember, the humans and the microbes are coming back to Earth. I wonder how carefully they've really considered this. Now, how much more deadly were the microbes that came back? Well, after 25 days, 40% of the mice given the Earth-bound Salmonella were still alive and kicking. That's compared with only 10% of those dosed with the germs from space. And the researchers found it took about 1/3 as much of the space germs to kill half the mice compared with the germs that had been on Earth as a control. The researchers actually found 167 genes had changed in the Salmonella that went into space. My God. Hope they're taking good showers when they come back. To the untrained eye, the tiny, misshapen, fatty blobs on Giovanni Murta's microscope slide wouldn't look very impressive. But when the Italian scientists saw their telltale green fluorescent glint, He quickly understood he had achieved something fairly remarkable and taken a vital step toward building a living organism from scratch, getting close to God's work, huh? The green glow was proof that his fragile creations were capable of making their own proteins, a crucial ability of all living things, and vital for carrying out all other aspects of life. We're getting very close, folks, to being able to create life. I wonder if we really want that responsibility. It's only a first step, though. The discovery will hasten efforts by scientists to build the world's first synthetic organism. It could also prove a significant development in the multi-billion dollar battle to exploit the technology for manufacturing commercially valuable chemicals, you know, like drugs, biofuels, or cleaning up pollution. So it could be good, or, according to some scientists, it could be very bad. The application of nanotechnology, boy, we get to read about all this new stuff, has allowed Russia to detonate the world's most powerful airborne bomb. The top military official in Russia announced that the artifact, thus far not named, is top secret. He revealed it contains a substance essentially more powerful than trottle, but gave no details about the explosive load. The test demonstrated that given its effectiveness and prospects, this new war item is, well, they think every bit as good as a nuclear bomb. The military official told local TV the new bomb does not contain possible contaminants, for the environment from either a chemical or radiological point of view, but with lesser mass than its U.S. atomic relative, this artifact is what they call it, is four times more potent. Its temperature in the epicenter, two times higher, and ground zero, 20 times larger. Now, I'm not sure if I believe all of that. You can't believe all that comes from Russia. But if so, they've got something we don't want dropped anywhere near us. Speaking of Russia, their strategic bombers have resumed Cold War-style long-haul missions to areas patrolled by NATO and the U.S. In fact, a Russian bomber flew over the U.S. naval base on the island of Guam Wednesday and, in quotes, exchanged smiles with U.S. pilots who had scrambled to track it. It has always been the tradition of our long-range aviation, said a Russian general, to fly far into the ocean and meet U.S. aircraft carriers and greet U.S. pilots visually. Now, I understand some of the greetings that they sent us while passing near our aircraft were not quite as friendly as perhaps they are today. A major cosmic pileup involving four large galaxies could give rise to one of the largest galaxies the universe has ever known. Each of the four galaxies is, get this, at least the size of our Milky Way. So each one of the four is gigantic, each home to billions of stars. The galaxies will eventually merge into a single colossal galaxy up to 10 times as massive as our own Milky Way. Can you even imagine that? Go out on a clear night, we have them here in the desert, and look up at the Milky Way. Millions and billions of stars, and it's four times, actually, when it gets together, 10 times as massive as our own Milky Way. When the merger is complete, it will be one of the biggest galaxies in the universe. The finding, to be detailed in an upcoming issue of Astrophysical Journal Letters, gives scientists their first real glimpse into a galaxy merger involving multiple big galaxies. And by the way, NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope has, get this, detected enough water vapor to fill all of the oceans on Earth five times inside the collapsing nest of a forming star system. Astronomers say the water vapor is pouring down from the system's natal cloud, that's a baby cloud, and smacking into a dusky disk where planets are thought to form. So in other words, what they're saying here, folks, is that this is the way water gets on forming planets. The observations provide the first direct look at how water, essential ingredient for life as we certainly know it, begins to make its way onto planets, possibly even rocky ones like our own. London now has 10,000 cameras CCTV cameras, which cost, in fact, 200 million pounds. That's a lot of money, right? So you would expect that crime in London would go down, but wrong. Hasn't budged, according to what I've got here. Crime, actually, in the areas where all the cameras are, has gone up. That's it. We'll be right back. Indeed, here I am, filling in this night for George Norrie, taking a well-deserved night off. Those are the numbers. What we're going to do when we get back in a moment is unscreened, open-line talk radio coming right up. Well, all right, once again, just let me remind you, on the website coasttocoastam.com right now, there are photographs of the three of us together, and also a couple of photographs I've taken. By the way, the one of Asia is only about 3 or 4 days ago at the most. I think 3 days ago. And the one of Aaron was taken, within the week. We took a trip into Las Vegas, and there was this great big cactus. Ooh, it was a beauty. And so I stopped the car, which I should not have done, got out, took a picture of her in front of that cactus. That's quite something for a gal from the part of the world she's from. All right, let's do as we said we would. Unscreened open lines west of the Rockies. Good morning. You are upon the air.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
I'm going to have to begin this way. Turn your radio off, please.
Okay, good morning, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir.
Yeah, this is Danny, Sacramento, California.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you about something that happened to me when I was a little kid in East Texas.
Okay.
I guess I must have been about 7 or 8 years old. I guess it must have been about 53, 54, somewhere around there. And these little people, I don't know if they were aliens or whatever they were, but they came to our house. It was on, we lived out in the rural area on a ranch like in East Texas. And there were two of them. And I noticed the way that the people talk about them sometime on the air about how they move and everything.
Well, no way. Did they just wander on your property, knock on the door, or walk through the wall?
No. They knocked on the door, and I was there with my grandfather and my grandmother.
Okay.
And my grandfather opened the door. They came in. These things just, they hovered. They didn't walk, you know. They hovered around like they were just off the floor a little bit. They moved by themselves like that. They had eyes large, like horse eyes.
So they were hovering in the air?
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
They went over to my grandfather, had a pipe and a tobacco can by his pipe stand, and it was about probably like about 4 feet off. It was like a chest of drawer thing, about 4 feet off the ground. And this thing levitated up to the where the pipes and everything were. He took the pipe out and hit the pipe onto the to the tobacco can, made a sound, but they never said anything, but you could just about communicate with them by just looking at them. My grandmother told them that they couldn't have me and all that good stuff. They didn't try to bother me. This one that hit on the pipe with on the tobacco can, he also saw my father's weapon, the shotgun across the door. That's the way they hang them down in East Texas. He hovered all the way up there with my grandfather's pipe, and he banged on that on the barrel of the gun. You could hear the sound of the metal and everything.
Yeah.
And he just came back, and he just looked at me, and he looked around the house, and both of them, and they just went back out our front door because my grandmother was telling them that they couldn't take me. And
you believe they were after you, or they believe that?
My grandmother did, because when I was smaller, I used to have nosebleeds, and I think I have one of those transplants also. I had that, I removed that myself.
Yourself?
Yes, about.
You performed surgery on yourself?
Yeah.
Where was the transplant? Where was the implant?
It was like about 6 inches above my knee to the inside of my thigh, like. And the little thing that I got out of there was about, it looked like a, I thought it was a, maybe a piece of a fish bone, but it looked like a piece of rice or something like that. It was, you know, like white-like, and it looked like a grain of rice to me whenever I took it out.
Well, I appreciate the story. I don't know what to make of it, nor stories like it. On coasttocoastam.com right now, there is a X-ray of a small implanted something or another in somebody. I was looking at that a little bit earlier, so you can't rule all this out. It's certainly a possibility. He actually removed it himself. Yikes. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art. Welcome back to the air.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Hey, good to talk to you. I wanted to talk about the last show, well, the second to last show you did, which was spectacular, with the UFO affidavit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very interesting to me that when something like that comes out, the government has no comment on it at all. Because I followed it for a couple of days after, and I thought, an affidavit like this has to have some kind of reaction.
Well, I would think the same thing. But the lack of reaction from the government is not a surprise. However, I'll agree with you, I guess, that a dying declaration carries a lot of weight. I mean, when somebody is, you know, their last few moments on Earth, they're very unlikely to tell a lie. And the law recognizes that in terms of giving more weight to a dying declaration.
Right. And the best part about it is I think that the lack of reaction basically proves it to be true.
Well, okay. I don't know that I would go that far. A lack of reaction is almost universally what the government does with respect to any sort of UFO information, no matter how solid it might be, even when it, you know, a craft lights up over Phoenix and thousands of people see it. They still manage to talk about flares and stuff like that. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
At last, I have finally gotten through to give you the love of the North. How dare you, sir, get on the radio again when I explicitly have told you and the Lord has warned you not to be on the radio. You disgustate me, sir.
The Lord has issued no such warning to me.
Yes, she has.
She?
Who do you think he's talking through?
Now he? Is it a he or a she?
Me.
It's a he?
Excuse me? The Lord's a man. Everyone knows that the Lord's a man.
You said she. You really slipped up, buddy. You said she.
I said he.
Second time you said
he. I would never say a she.
We've got to
change. When he's a he, we all know that the Lord is a he.
Yes, all right.
He's a man. Now, listen, speaking of, I was right. I fulfilled the prophecy that the Soviet Union is still there. They've never gone away. They're trying to attack us. They're disgusting us. Mr. Bell?
Yes, last we spoke, it's been quite a while. Your wife, you said, would be back with you shortly. Now, a great deal of time has passed. Has she run back?
My wife. You are confusing the issue. She is my servant. She is a disciple of mine. I can't get into it because it's complicated. But first, what I need to do is I need to call and I need to...
Is Edna back home or not?
Edna's still on the highways of this nation. We're close to getting her back.
Born to be wild, JC. Born to be wild.
No. Listen, I also have to defend the honor of our Republican Senator Craig because he's been framed by the homosexual mafia to look like he's a homosexual, and we know he's not gay.
We don't know much of anything except that he apparently signed a little piece of paper saying that he admitted
in America and loves America, and the gay mafia framed him. What's happened.
And now, you see, I had no idea where you were actually from. So he is your senator, as it were.
Yes. And he's a good, godly man who's been set up by the gay mafia, by George Norrie and all of your underworld friends who are trying to tear down faith and values Americans that love America. That
George is far too busy to do that sort of thing.
I know he's busy being a criminal mastermind. Where is that no good tonight?
He's probably relaxing and saying,
"Thank
God Art got the call and I didn't."
Excuse me?
It's unimportant.
I know it's an honor for you to speak with me again because I am administering God's love and the new commandments. Now listen, you keep bringing up Edna and I want you to stop.
Is that administering or ministering?
Excuse me?
You've got your radio on, don't you? You know that's a cardinal sin. JC, turn your radio off.
Don't kill me what you do. I'm going to turn my radio down so I can hear you better. Now, Listen, Mr. Bell, we know that America is being pornographized and destructized by the food pornographers. Have you seen this Rachel Ray on TV everywhere she goes?
Food pornographer.
Smile. What?
What kind of food do you consider to be pornographic, JC?
Well, definitely I consider Italian food to be pornographic and Mexican food to be pornographic, because when people eat Mexican food, what happens is all those spices get your internals working and gets everything hot and bothered. That's why those...
You really want to go after a food, JC? Why don't you go after lima beans? They're not God's work at all.
Lima beans are just fine.
All right, that's it for JC. Anybody who says lima beans are just fine is out of here. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Art Bell, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
And with you, sir. Definitely somewhere down south, I would guess.
Excuse me?
I said calling from somewhere in the south, I would guess.
Oh, yes, sir, Knoxville.
Knoxville, okay.
The reason I'm calling is earlier in the week, George made a report that Virgil Goot has made a proposal to block the North American Union. Now that Delegate Virgil Goot, has proposed this, how can the rest of the politicians deny that it's going on?
He wishes to block the North American Union?
Yes. Earlier this week, George made a news report on, the first of the hour. Mm. He does the news of the day.
Well, what do you think about the idea of a North American Union?
Oh, I think it should not happen. I think that the United States should get out of the UN, and it should also get out of NAFTA.
Mm. I have a question for you. How do you propose that the United States, in fact, North America, compete with our Asian partners and our European partners who are closing ranks and becoming one economic reality? Now, that's an awful lot to try to compete with.
Well, first of all, we need to impose sanctions upon China, who's using slave labor. Just like all of these recalls of lead paint coming out of China.
Right.
I hate to say it, but it serves these companies right, corporate America. It serves them right for taking our jobs overseas just to make an extra dollar.
Mm-hmm. I understand the complaint. I understand how you feel, but the reality is that the Europeans have their union. Asia certainly is a fertile ground for doing these sorts of things that require cheap labor. And I don't think we're going to cause them to stop. And so the reality of our world is we've got to find a way to compete with them. And eventually that's going to mean some sort of North American Union. I think I've said this on the program before, but we all began as various little towns and communities and villages, and we traded then with other little villages, and pretty soon we traded with other states, right? Then we were trading with other countries, and now we've got these trading blocks, and I don't see how the U.S. can kind of close its eyes and ears and ignore all of this that is going on and remain competitive. We've got to do something. Now, I don't know what that something is, but it probably involves making deals with others. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Eric from Windsor.
Hello, Eric.
And I wanted to tell you guys about a time when I was 18 and I just graduated from high school in 1973. Me and some friends got in this camper truck and we went down to Arroyo Seco River. And we went up this fire road about 22 miles up and we found this campground. There was nobody there. It was deserted. We fished for a while in the river. And then it got dark, and we started to eat our fish and make a fire. And then at about 8 or 9 o'clock, we start hearing this howling noise, just an unbelievable howling. It wasn't a cat. It wasn't a woman. It was none of those things. And it was coming from one direction. Then pretty soon it started coming from different directions. And it was after about 10 or 15 minutes, it was coming from all different directions.
In other words, you were totally surrounded.
Yes. And we were like 22 miles out in the middle of nowhere, and there was like four of us. And me and a friend, I had a machete, and he had a Bowie knife. So we went looking out with flashlights. We went to go see what the sound could be. And then we went walking.
I would not have done that.
Well, we did. We went walking and walking in the nearest direction. And we got about 50 yards away from the fire, and it was pretty flat. There wasn't any trees around. All of a sudden, about 10 feet above us, there were these two bright red eyes, about 10 inches apart, about as big as eggs. Each one was about as big as an egg.
I've never liked red eyes.
Just big, bright red eyes, and there was no sound.
And you raised your knife, no doubt.
We tore back to the campfire, told everybody to pack it up, and let's get the hell out of there.
Now you're talking.
The next day, we got out of that campground. We went down to the next campground, and it was much, much better feeling there. And in the morning, we came back to the original campground to see if it was a tree up in a tree or what could be up that high. And the ground was flat, and there was no trees. And the name of the campground was Escondido, which I think means unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it really scared the hell out of us, you know. Oh. We were there for 2 months after that. And we'd had no more sightings. It was just the most beautiful country you could imagine back there.
Well, I think everybody is bothered by something. And for me, it has always been the concept of red eyes. I don't know if I associate it with the devil or something that you simply cannot combat, something that you will not, some fight you will not end up winning. Red eyes. Very, very bad. I understand George is bothered by clowns. For me, it's red eyes. I always thought that I'd end up in the belly of anything with red eyes. East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, yeah. This is Ed from John City, Tennessee.
Hello, Ed.
Yes. About the North American Treaty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have enough trouble having the 50 states trying to get along, you know. And I could imagine having two other, you know, nations. Well, especially a third world type country to the south trying to, you know, get together with our type of government.
Okay, but we need a place to have relatively cheap labor. In other words, we need a place to compete in a world where others are joining as blocks. So how do we compete if we don't do it?
Oh, well, I'm not saying. I think we're very prestigious, and I don't really think we have to worry about that. I think if we bring somebody else in, I know we have cheap labor, but how about our own people? Everybody says American people are extremely lazy. I don't think so.
No,
you know,
they're not.
We have set this up.
Wait. The American people are not lazy. The American people are some of the hardest working people in the world. The Europeans take like 5 weeks vacation. The American people, if you look into it, sir, are very hardworking.
Oh, yes. Yes, I understand that. Yeah, I'm on guard duty right now. I don't really think it's a good idea. I mean, it's sort of, I think there's so many people against it. I mean, they should ask, you know, kind of like a referendum, ask the people of the United States whether we need. I don't, in the future, maybe we will. But I just don't think it's a really, some of the European Union guys want to break apart, you know.
Well, I am very, very pleased that the Senate voted down this insane idea of having Mexican trucks running across all 50 states. I thought that was a very poor idea.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's the, well, besides taking jobs at a lower, you know, pay rate, I mean, they're dangerous. And, you know, it's just, well, I don't know. I'm just sort of biased being an American, but it's great talking to you, Art, and I'll hope to hear you on there again, okay?
I'm sure that will occur. Thank you very much. I'll be here, of course. I anticipate being here for Ghost to Ghost AM, and then toward the end of the year for the yearly prediction programs. And, of course, we will dig out from the Bell Vault those predictions made last year. And we'll compare them with reality. I hope we had a pretty good year of predictions. And, you know, I'll be here from time to time filling in. This is what's going on tonight. I'm spending one night filling in for George Norrie, who, and I can tell you from experience, working five and sometimes six nights a week, every now and then, you need a psychological day off. Otherwise, you'll go nuttier than a fruitcake. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell.